For most people, having to defend yourself in court before a judge is one of the most stressful experiences you could possibly go through. Some time ago, I spent a while working at the Melbourne Magistrates Court, and one of the courtrooms that I regularly sat in dealt with people who didn't pay their tolls. Now, for most people, if you forget to pay your toll, you get a reminder in the mail, you quickly pay it, and you move on, and you try not to forget in the future. But for some people, their situation was very different, and they got themselves into some very serious trouble. You see, some people would use the toll roads a few times a day without paying, and they'd go on for months, if not years, racking up more and more and more fines, and these toll fines would quickly rise to hundreds of dollars each. And every time you used a toll road without paying, you get a letter in the mail with your bill. A few weeks later, you get a reminder, and then another reminder. And then the legal threats start coming. Some people I met in the courtroom were getting up to a dozen letters a day in their mailbox, chasing the debts they owed. But eventually for these people, everything catches up with them, and if they ignore it for long enough, a warrant goes out for their arrest, they get arrested, they get put on bail and forced to face judgment. And one of my jobs in the court was to deal with all the paperwork, and in these cases, every infringement had a few dozen bits of paper attached. Some people's files were literally reams of paper. And so when their case was called, I would stand up, I would call their case out in the court, and I would reach down to the floor and place their file in front of them. When the accused finally got a chance to speak, these people spoke of what it was like living under the crushing weight of their debt. By the time these people got to court, their fines were worth tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. They were getting all these letters. They knew what was going on, but all of them had reached a place in their lives where the amount that they had owed was just so crushing. The guilt was so overwhelming that they tried their best just to close their eyes, ignore it all, and keep on going with their normal lives. Our passage from Colossians, which I just read, speaks of the mountain of moral debt that we rack up before God. The author Paul is writing to a group of Christians who are relatively new to their faith, and most of them have come from a background of worshipping pagan gods. Most of them come from worshipping these old gods of the classical Greek culture, or have come from these mysterious religious cults with strange and secretive initiation ceremonies. Yet somehow, they'd all found themselves now in the church. They'd heard about Jesus. They'd become Christians. And the Apostle Paul writes to these people to remind them that the work of Christ on the cross is absolutely central to their salvation. He reminds them that the mountain of moral debt that we all face can only be dealt with on the cross. At the heart of our faith is what Jesus did on Good Friday. Paul starts off by getting them to cast their minds back to what life was like before they came to faith in Jesus. And he says to them in verse 13, he says, "You were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh." And then in verse 14, he speaks of the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He's saying to this church, he's saying, when you were living these pagan lives, when you were worshipping other gods, you were looking for hope in all the wrong places, you were living for your own pleasure, your own power, you had your back turned against God, and you were spiritually and morally dead. Dead in your sin. Separated from God, excluded from God's family, living without hope and without life. You see, God has made very clear his perfect moral standards. He has revealed his law to us. He says what he expects of people, and anyone not living up in accordance with God's law has a moral debt against God which grows and grows and grows and grows. And you don't have to look far into the New Testament to see that this isn't only a problem for the Colossians in the first century, it's a problem for all of humanity throughout all centuries. It's a problem for every person. Living in a way that doesn't please God. Turning our backs on him and his ways. A life without God leaves us dead in our sins, and every moment that we live outside of a relationship with him, the crushing weight of our moral debt against God builds and builds and builds and builds. It stands against us and condemns us. But you know, Paul doesn't dwell on the past for too long, does he? Because he wants to show the Colossians how the cross of Christ changes it all. Because it's the events of Good Friday that transforms everything. Note carefully what he says to these Christians in verse 13. He says, "You were dead in your sins." It's past tense, isn't it? You were dead. And he speaks of their mountain of moral debt as something of the past. And the way that Paul can speak of our debt as a past issue is because of what Jesus has done on the cross. It's all in the past because of the power of the cross. Again in verse 13, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross." The pile and the of moral debt that once stood against us, the charges which condemned us, those infringements against God that are stacked up and were crushing us, are taken away and they're nailed to the cross. They're dealt with once and for all. The horrendous pain and suffering that Jesus endured that day. The false trial, the whipping of his body, the Roman nails hammered through his hands and feet, the unbearably slow death was all done to pay the heavy price for our infringements against God. Jesus stood in our place to wipe out our mountain of debt and to unlock forgiveness. It can be easy for us as Christians to go through our Christian life wondering or being unsure about whether our sin has been forgiven. We can go through our lives with a niggling feeling that we've still got a small pile of moral debt against God. somewhere that maybe we don't know about, left undealt with. We find it hard to believe. We think surely God couldn't have dealt with all my sin. Surely there must be some stuff that floats around unforgiven by God, not dealt with. And that leads us to live life with a continual sense of guilt and shame, questioning, wondering whether we're really forgiven or not. We need to know how decisive the work of Jesus on the cross is. Verse 13, he forgave us all our sins. All our sins. All our sin has been dealt with. All has been forgiven. Verse 14, he has cancelled the legal debt which stood against us and condemned us. Our debt against God, it hasn't been put on hold. It hasn't been put to one side to bring out again one day. God's not going to hold it against you. It has been cancelled. It's been paid for. It's been dealt with. It's been nailed to the cross. If a debt has been paid, you don't have to repay it again. But so many Christians live as if they're continually getting reminder letters of our moral debts against God. That guilt and that shame of our past debts against God hangs over our heads. It controls the way we behave. If you're a Christian, it's time to stop living like you're getting reminder letters all the time. It's time to stop living with the guilt and the shame of the past, because Christ has freed you from the guilt of this sin. The debt is no longer hanging over your head. It's been nailed to the cross. You have been forgiven. Now, of course, living in the freedom of sins forgiven, the Apostle Paul reminds us, doesn't mean that we just go on and live however we want to. We seek to live lives which bring honor and glory to God in response to his great love for us. But we do not need to allow guilt and shame to follow us wherever we go. In all my time sitting in the toll infringements court, nobody ever got let off. Some fines were reduced. The magistrate had mercy. Some people were put on payment plans. Others chose to, instead of paying their bills, spent time in jail. Every single person had to pay some kind of price for their infringement. Because that's only just, isn't it? Justice had to be served. Justice demands that something must be done about our wrongdoing and sin against God. But in his grace and in his love, Jesus goes to the cross so that justice can be served on our behalf. The price has been paid. Sin has been nailed to the cross. It is done. It is finished. And so we can go out and live in the freedom of knowing our sins are forgiven.
Come now to time of confession. Remember, God shows great love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. On the screen there'll be a prayer of confession. As we say together, let us confess our sins. O Christ, we are stripped bare by your suffering. You see all within our hearts, and the secrets we keep even from ourselves. Forgive all that needs to be forgiven. Heal all that needs to be healed. Put the power of your cross into our lives forever, and clothe us with hope and love. We've turned our hearts to God in repentance, and our sins are laid bare before the cross of Jesus Christ. In the name of the living God, our sins are forgiven. Amen. Let's continue in prayer.